Since 2013, and I have personally witnessed the monumental changes with the campus facility, the faculty, the overall program that is offered at the Baxter. Steve and Diana have accomplished more in the 10-plus years that they've been there, in my opinion, than all of the other four presidents since Baxter started, I believe, in 64. And please remember that behind every successful man, there is a woman, and that is Diana. And they're really pretty good folks, except for their Auburn fans, Auburn Tiger fans, but we won't hold that against them. Steve Teal. I offered to give him my tie this morning, and he declined.
Back 4 years ago, we were here pre-COVID, and we handed out a plaque to the church. I believe it was to Donnie. Was it not for Donnie? I gave this plaque. It was appreciation to the church and for the much that you have given to what is Honduras and the work there. And we continue to appreciate you. I'd like to ask Ramon. Where's Ramon at here? Brother Ramon? Hey, come on down, brother. We have another gift we want to give to the church. I'm all into gift giving. I'd like to give the church this photo of our new entrance into Baxter, and maybe it could be displayed somewhere close to the plaque that I have, but as a reminder of what Baxter is, you see the arches there. We do a lot of arches, and in between there you can see the arch of the new clinic as well, new remodeled clinic. So thank you guys, appreciate it very much. Here's the little deal there. As I expressed in the class time, we are indebted to this congregation, very appreciative of this congregation. Thank you for what you have done and how you're serving your community and how you're serving the world. That's what it's all about. It's about something so much bigger than ourselves, God's mission to the world. And thank you for being that way and being how that touches the very specific thing that we're doing in Honduras. You know, everybody's got a story. You got a story. She was a good Christian wife, and she had this husband she was working on, and wasn't having a lot of luck. Then he started asking a lot of questions, and hard questions to her about Christian faith. And finally he says, "Well, listen, why don't you ask your preacher to ride with me in my truck? And I'll ask him all these questions. He can ride around with me in my Budweiser delivery truck. And I can ask him all these questions." So she goes to her preacher. And her preacher says to himself, "Well, what if somebody sees me in that truck? You got to avoid every appearance of evil." And he said, "No." So she was determined to get his questions answered. So she goes across town, finds another preacher, and she says, "Would you do this?" He says, "Yes. When can we leave?" And so for 3 weeks, this is a true story, for 3 weeks, they ride together in the Budweiser truck, and him answering the questions of this husband, this good Christian wife. And after 3 weeks, he's baptized into Christ. And after four, he's worshiping with the preacher. Everybody's got a story. You got a story. You got a story. We're going to let Lupe, in this first video, tell his story. Lupe is our new dean. And
hello, I'm Lupe Mayo. I have been in Baxter for almost 20 years. I came to this great institution in 2003. I was living in North Carolina when I decided to come here. Coming to Baxter has been one of the greatest decisions that I have taken in my life. Baxter have changed my life in so many different ways. After I graduated in 2006, I became a member of the faculty. Recently, this year, I have accepted the position of becoming the new academic dean. Baxter has been such a great blessing for all the churches in Latin America. We have more than 600 graduates, and we have graduates in almost every single country in Latin America. I know that there are so many challenges coming ahead, but I invite you to join me and to look the future with hope, with faith, and great optimism. May God bless you.
Baxter has a new dean, and we're so appreciative of Lupe Mayo. It's Guadalupe, actually. Mayo is our new dean from Mexico. He didn't tell all his story, so I've got the backstory on Lupe that you'll find interesting. 25 years ago, as a 12-year-old, his parents left him and went to the United States. Left him with his grandparents. He didn't like that, so he decides he's going to go to the States. As a 12-year-old, he gets on the death train. He gets up close to the border, and he gets with some coyotes. Some of you know what that is. And they cross the border into the United States. He goes to Los Angeles to try to find his parents. He doesn't find them in Los Angeles. He doesn't find them in Las Vegas. He doesn't find them in Arkansas. He finds them in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He goes all the way across the United States and finally finds his family. And he's a teenager. He gets in a little bit of scuffle trouble, but he then finds God. And he's worshiping in a Pentecostal church there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Lupe said, they had a youth camp, and I went to the camp, took some of my buddies with me, and they invited an area preacher from the Churches of Christ, Hispanic from Uruguay, to speak in that camp that they had, youth camp. And he really liked what this preacher said, Willie Costas, and he left the Pentecostal church to go to the Friendly Avenue Church of Christ there in Winston-Salem and was baptized into Christ there in Winston-Salem. He goes through high school, and he's ready to go to college, to a Christian college, but no one would accept him because he's an illegal. At 12 years old, he crossed, you know, so he doesn't know what to do. He hears about Baxter, and some good Christian brothers and sisters pay for his flight to Baxter. And he starts school at Baxter, and he's wearing headphones just like a typical North American would at that point, 25, well, it's about 30 years ago, and take his test and initially in English because he had lost a lot of his Spanish living in the States. Eventually, he gets into his studies and does very well at Baxter, top of the class, and we hold him as a freshman teacher for our students there. We put him into local university. He does well in local university, gets him a degree in counseling, and then gets a master's degree in counseling, has done a wonderful job. He married the daughter of an elder in one of the area churches there. She is now a doctor, medical doctor, and they have two sons. What a story. What a story. You got a story. You got a story. What is your story about? Matthew has a story. And we look in on this chapter in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and we see him writing these words. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them the authority to drive out evil spirits and to cure every kind of disease. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. We are a third into the gospel of Matthew, and just now, for the first time, is the word apostle appear in the gospel writings. Why? Was Jesus first? The king of the Jews, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. it is Jesus in the arms of Mary racing with Joseph out of Israel to Egypt. They're refugees. They're fleeing from Israel because Herod's after them. They eventually get back to Nazareth. Jesus is the son of a carpenter there in Nazareth. And as he becomes a man, he's 30 years of age, he launches out on his ministry. First thing he does, he goes to John to be baptized. John says, wait a minute, you got to baptize me first. No, Jesus says, I want you to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. John heeds those words, and then you have this wonderful event. It would have been great to have a video of this where God speaks from heaven. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, the Son, there in the waters. The three, the Godhead, we would say, are there present in that one awesome event as Jesus is initiating his ministry. Then he is taken into the desert, into the wilderness for those 40 days of temptation. There you have another incredible event. It's a cosmic battle, what you have there. It is all that is evil. Millennium Satan has brought down men and women with this temptation and with sin, as he did initially with Eve. Against all that is good, the Son of Man, the Son of God. New to this earth event, how will it come out, the battle of all that is good and all that is evil and this conflict? We see a triumphal Jesus leaving that temptation scene, and he begins his ministry in chapter 4, healing all kinds of diseases. And then it's to the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And there he says, love your enemies, as Roman soldiers are likely present in the audience there on that event of that huge crowd that's gathered to hear his sermon, his famed sermon. It is live out loud, 31,596, I think it's 926 seconds of every year. Live it out loud. Unlike the Pharisees and the Sadducees who wear the mask of their real self. As they stand on the street corners, they blow the trumpets and they give their alms and they pray their long prayers and they go about this show of religion with their mask on. Jesus says in that Sermon on the Mount, take off your mask, live. As he leaves that mount, he goes then to confirm what it is to live out the Sermon on the Mount. As he heals the paralytic, he heals the hemorrhaging woman, as he touches the leper and heals him, as he raises back to life the daughter of the synagogue ruler. This is how he initiates his ministry. And then he does the unfathomable thing. This is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Unfathomable is what he does. But before we continue with Matthew's story, let someone else tell their story. This is a story of a couple. They're at Baxter. They're fourth-year students. They'll be speaking to you in Spanish, and we want to get that bar so we can see the translation at the bottom of this video. But it's quite telling, this story of Nubia and Wilson. Our second video.
Mi nombre es Wilson Castellanos. Vengo de la ciudad de Danlí, El Paraíso, Honduras.
Hola, mi nombre es Nubia Rodríguez. Soy de Honduras, del municipio de Trujillo, departamento de Colón. Tenemos dos hijos, Emil de 13 años y Jackson de 9 años. Yo conocí a la Iglesia de Cristo de una forma muy curiosa. Un día, un domingo por la mañana, yo iba de compras al mercado y de regreso a casa, ya que yo vivo a 5 casas de la Iglesia de Cristo, y por primera vez me paré porque me llamó la atención. En eso estaba el hermano Mario Ulloa en la puerta de la iglesia y me invitó. Después por la tarde él llegó a la casa a ofrecerme un estudio bíblico y lo comenté con mi esposo y lo recibimos juntos.
Después de recibir el estudio, creo que estuvimos recibiendo estudio aproximadamente unos 2 meses. Entonces decidimos bautizarnos el mismo día, puesto que tenemos la misma edad, nos bautizamos de 26 años. Y pues aquí estamos desde ese momento. Supimos acerca de Baxter en el 2018. Esa fecha vine a recibir un seminario acá a Baxter junto con el hermano Dagoberto Rodríguez y el hermano Mario Ulloa. Venimos desde Trujillo. Y gracias a Dios aquí estamos y ya cursando el tercer año.
Nuestras expectativas aquí en Baxter son aprender al máximo y utilizar bien las herramientas que nos brindan aquí para poder ayudar a las congregaciones donde vayamos a trabajar.
Bueno, después de salir de Baxter, nuestro mayor deseo es poder servir en una congregación, la que Dios ponga, ¿verdad?, donde vayamos a trabajar. Y queremos aplicar nuestro conocimiento y aprovechar al máximo para así ayudar a personas que en realidad necesitan que les presenten un buen evangelio.
Special family there. The story is, the backstory on them is also very interesting. Every beginning of the year, we bring in the freshmen, and Diana cooks up the great desserts that she does. And we sit them down on our couches and chairs there in our home, and we tell them our story. And then we ask them to tell their story. Nubia, the wife, gave us a fuller explanation of what happened in her life and her story. It was that she had gotten the news from the doctor she had cancer, and she was in the city park on a bench crying. So a Christian happened to walk by, seeing this woman in the bench bawling, crying. And she sits down beside her. And then she says, "What's going on?" And so Nubia told her the news she'd heard from the doctor, and it didn't look good, and it was cancer. And so the Christian said, "Well, let's pray." Prayer changes people, you know. And that prayer changed Nubia to look to God. And the good sister says, "Well, I'd like to invite you to church." And she told her basically where the church was. And as she indicated, they walked by it. It's only 5 blocks from their house. They started going there and they were baptized into Christ. And now they've come to Baxter. And fortunately, the cancer has been dealt with, and they have plans now as they graduate in December to be missionaries in Honduras. What a story. That's the only thing you could say, like with Lupe, it's God working to make that kind of a thing happen. He has a story, Matthew does. And he's writing his gospel, and we get to chapter 9, verses 9 through 13, and what we find there. We see Matthew, he's at his booth, and I can imagine beside him, as he's collecting taxes, are Roman soldiers to be sure that people will stop and pay their taxes. They're on this main road that runs through Capernaum, but it starts off in Damascus, and it goes all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And a lot of things are being transported along the way, and they're taxing people as they're carrying their goods. And Matthew's there at this desk, and you can imagine monies are piled up over here, and a show of power with the Roman soldiers and their swords and that kind of a thing. And up walks Jesus. The only words that are uttered are the words of Jesus in this event. Come, follow me. And to the surprise of everybody, the tax collector gets up and he follows Jesus. Modestly stated in Matthew's gospel, but Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 4 says, he got up and he left everything. Now, the everything would have been those stacks of money that would have been there at his booth. The wealth that he had, the prosperity that was his, unlike the rich young ruler who would not sell everything he had and follow Jesus, Matthew left it all to follow Jesus. What's your story? Anything like that? Let's look at this next video, and an individual gives up a lot to follow Jesus.
Muy buen día, pues yo soy Samuel Ayala, tengo 30 años y vengo de México, soy mexicano, del estado de Oaxaca, específicamente de San Francisco de Tlixtlahuaca, está muy cerca de la ciudad y pues desde ahí es donde vengo. Bueno, yo realmente nací dentro de la familia de Cristo. Mis padres, mi padre estuvo incluso también aquí en Baxter. Él estaba sirviendo en la iglesia cuando yo nací. Nací justo en la Ciudad de México y de ahí nos fuimos para el estado de Oaxaca. Me bauticé a la edad de 18 años en septiembre del 2009. Yo supe acerca de Baxter por medio de mi papá. Él estudió aquí en una generación hace aproximadamente 40 años y pues por medio de él es que sabía yo de esta escuela y fue hace aproximadamente 2 años y medio, casi 3 años, que por medio del hermano Victorino Martínez es que pudimos volver a tener contacto con la escuela, ya que él me dio contacto con Baxter para que pudiera yo mandar mi solicitud. Ok, mis expectativas en Baxter apuntan a, bueno, seguir aprendiendo más y más. Todo lo que he venido aprendiendo en estos años me ha servido bastante. Creo que he encontrado lo que venía buscando aquí en este instituto para poder aplicar estas enseñanzas pues con los hermanos, con las iglesias y poder ser un apoyo para ellos. Entonces, esas son mis expectativas, seguir aprendiendo y pues seguir dando ese empeño en ese instituto.
Las partes malas que podemos nosotros tener en nuestra vida cotidiana, pero siempre hay una salida, siempre hay una puerta que nos ve.
Yo lo que deseo hacer al salir de Baxter es dedicarme al Ministerio de Enseñanza. A mí me gusta bastante y es un área que considero que se ha descuidado bastante en las iglesias. Entonces es una parte de las que me gustaría encargarme. Y también al Ministerio de Alabanza. A mí me gusta mucho la música, tengo un poquito de estudios acerca de la música y me gustaría apoyar a la iglesia en ese aspecto de tener una buena alabanza para Dios.
Well, there's a backstory on Samuel. He's in his early 30s, probably doesn't look that, but he is. He didn't tell this about himself. When he graduates from high school in Mexico, he enters school of medicine. He studies for 8 years in that school of medicine in Mexico. He graduates as a doctor, starts his practice there in Mexico as a doctor. And as he was telling his story in our living room that on the couch there, the first of his freshman year, he says, I realized I was helping people physically, but there was so much more help they needed. I wanted to know how I could spiritually help them. And so I've come to study here at Baxter. He will graduate in December. They have developed a team of two families, one from Nicaragua, one from Colombia. He is engaged, and there's another student there who is from Guatemala, who's a part of this this mission team, and they're going to Colombia to work and start a new church in Colombia. And we're just really excited about what the future lies for Samuel and how his story, how it will develop for him. In this writings we have in Matthew, the 10th chapter, as he lists who the apostles are, Simon is first. He's always first. First to speak, first to act, first to get in trouble is Simon, Peter, you know. And so he talks about James and John. They're the sons of thunder, you know, those two apostles. And he gets down to Judas. He's very clear about who Judas is. He's the one that will betray Jesus. And he says in the list, Matthew, the tax collector. Now, we would like to kind of sweep that under the rug, wouldn't we? We don't want to forget about that. That's in the past. No. We don't want to talk about that anymore. But it's Matthew says about himself, Matthew the tax collector, as though it was his defining identity as the tax collector. He takes us back to chapter 9 when he was at that booth and he was collecting taxes when Jesus walked by. But you see, Matthew got it. Jesus' word on the Sermon on the Mount, unlike the hypocrites who stand on those corners and bring attention to all that they are doing, he says of himself, I'm removing my mask. I have nothing to hide. What do you have to hide? I affirm that I, the lowly, disliked, hated tax collector, was loved, shown mercy. How could he have chosen me? It's Matthew being totally transparent. We have another story here we want to look at. This is another couple, Alberto and Majorine, in our next video.
Hola, yo me llamo Alberto Hernández y vengo de la ciudad de Cali, en Colombia.
Hola, mi nombre es Majorine Layton y vengo de Colombia, de la ciudad de Cali. Bueno, yo llegué a la Iglesia de Cristo de una forma muy particular, ya que pues veníamos de haber asistido a otro grupo religioso. Entonces, en una de esas estaba al frente de mi computador buscando algo sobre el Espíritu Santo. Quería saber algo sobre este tema y de repente encuentro una página que decía Iglesia de Cristo. Y empecé a mirar ahí y me llamó mucho la atención lo que ellos hablaban en la parte donde dice quiénes somos, qué practicamos y toda esa parte. Entonces me causó mucha curiosidad, empecé a leer más. Mi esposo estaba en casa y le decía, mira, aquí es de lo que hemos hablado, ellos también lo practican. Y entonces empecé a buscar, bueno, ¿y esta iglesia de dónde es? ¿Esta página de dónde es? Y bueno, era de México. Y yo dije, ay, de México, ¿y será que existe aquí en Colombia y en Cali? Y empecé a buscar, bueno, voy a buscar Iglesia de Cristo en Colombia. Y así lo encontré y después busqué Iglesia de Cristo en Cali, vamos a buscar en Cali. Me salieron varias direcciones, entonces como yo soy mala para las direcciones, mi esposo es bueno para las direcciones, entonces yo dije, bueno, voy a dictarte una dirección y me dice, ¿cuál es la más cercana a nuestra casa? Entonces le empecé a decir y me dijo, esa. Bueno, empezamos, fuimos y yo de una, sin esperar, busqué el teléfono, llamé al hermano, a la persona que aparecía ahí encargado de esa congregación. creo que estaba muy contenta y le dije tantas cosas por teléfono que ya ni me acuerdo. ¿Qué días me puedo ir a congregar? Y eso fue como un lunes, entonces ya para el miércoles fuimos a la dirección y así fue que conocimos la Iglesia de Cristo y ahí empezamos a congregarnos.
Bueno, como lo dice mi esposa, de esa manera fui influenciado. Ella me comentó un poco acerca de la iglesia a la cual asistimos y efectivamente después de ese miércoles estuvimos unos estudios con los hermanos y para el próximo domingo, recuerdo muy bien que era el 8 de julio del año 2012 cuando tomamos la decisión de bautizarnos y nos bautizamos los dos juntos ese día y desde ahí en adelante hemos estado en la Iglesia de Cristo. Bueno, de Baxter nos dimos cuenta más o menos en el año 2015 cuando visitábamos la Iglesia de Cristo en Cartagena. Allí nos encontrábamos de paseo y cuando visitamos la congregación conocimos al hermano Calvin y a su esposa Linda. Pero ya más concreto, un hermano que venía de la ciudad de Bogotá nos visitaba en la congregación de nosotros y allí él nos amplió un poco más acerca de la visión de lo que es Baxter. Esto nos interesó tanto que nosotros aplicamos para una beca en el año 2019, la cual fue aprobada y ingresamos aquí a la institución en el año 2020 y gracias a Dios ya estamos cursando nuestro tercer año.
Bueno, nuestras expectativas en Baxter es adquirir más conocimiento, tener herramientas para ponerlas en funcionamiento de nuestros anhelos. Aquí en Baxter hemos aprovechado muchísimo las clases y sé que todo esto va a ser de mucha ayuda para prestar un mejor servicio a Dios en el campo que deseamos y que en un futuro queremos hacer.
Bien, nuestros planes al salir de Baxter es poder plantar iglesias. Ese siempre fue nuestro anhelo y fue la meta que nos trazamos con mi esposa al llegar aquí a esta institución. Gracias a Dios, a lo largo de estos tres años que hemos pasado acá en Tegucigalpa, hemos podido tener esa experiencia, ya que junto con otros compañeros hemos logrado iniciar una nueva congregación en la aldea Soyapa, lo cual pues ha sido muy gratificante para nosotros de manera espiritual, ya que estamos teniendo experiencia para a futuro poder establecer nuestros anhelos y nuestros sueños en Colombia.
What a story from a computer search on the computer about the Holy Spirit. They're introduced to the teachings of the Churches of Christ, the biblical teachings there. They begin to honestly pursue what is the truth there in Colombia and become a part of the church there in Colombia. They are a part of that team that Samuel is a part of, and they're returning to Colombia to plant a church there. Matthew's story continues if you read on verses 5 through verse 10. Jesus tells them they're to announce the coming of this kingdom, this new kingdom. And I can imagine Matthew putting into his first sermon about the coming of the kingdom. It's not with reference to insurrection against Rome. We're not to be a David-like warrior fighting Goliath. This is a spiritual kingdom that Jesus has drawn us into. A kingdom whose king is Jesus, the one, unlike the one who called even a tax collector, who called me. That's how I envision his sermon. You know, Matthew is transparent. He even sat way with Jesus. In the lineage of Jesus in Matthew, the first chapter, he lets us know there are Gentiles in the lineage of Jesus. First, it's Ruth, a Gentile, and it's Rahab, the prostitute, who's in the lineage of Jesus. Jesus would have us look at the heart of Matthew, at that transparency that he had with reference to his own life. To remember where we've come from. Paul was very good about that, saying very specifically the things he was a part of in trying to destroy the church before he became a Christian, before that sighting on the road to Damascus. Tell your grandkids about your conversion. Tell them about what you were like and what you found in Jesus. For some of you, it's 50 years ago. For others, it may be only 2 years ago. Tell your story. The lost need to know our stories. Let's be transparent about who we are. We're saved by the grace of God. And Jesus would have us to imitate extreme mercy. Extreme mercy. I mean, nobody wanted to be around Matthew, the tax collector, if you're a Jew. You hated the guy. He was collaborating with the enemy. Most people would shy away from Matthew, would not want Matthew. If some of you watched The Chosen, that video series is out, and you see this misfit Matthew. It's maybe somewhat like what he was, I don't know, but nobody wanted to be with the tax collector. And it's as though Jesus pursues Matthew. It's as though Jesus chases after Matthew and calls him to be his disciple and eventually his apostle. Like he did with Zacchaeus, the short guy, sycamore tree. Been to that supposed sycamore tree and outside of Jericho. And salvation was come into his home, he announces. Zacchaeus does. Extreme grace. Extreme mercy. I suppose we might say it's kind of like that mercy that was shown to the Budweiser truck driver. He would like to extend that to you today. There is a Baxter story, and we look at this story in the last 2 minutes of our gathering today in this video. We'll show our last video. Baxter from above. When peace lies, it's our clinic. The front of the clinic. That's administration, classrooms, and chapel top. The men's dorm, where a number of you have stayed. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. The sky, oh, trump of the angels. Some of you have played on this soccer court. Future here with the building of a Mary Sue Apartments, this location. These are our Mary Sue Apartments. Our students, their kids, in worship and chapel. That's our story. Would your story lead you to come become a Christian today? We would like to attend to anyone who would like to give their life to Jesus as we stand, as we sing.